O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. You have to meet. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium,
all
material manifestations
enter into my nature.
And at the beginning of another millennium,
by my potency,
I create them again. The creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material cosmic manifestation are completely dependent on the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. At the end of the millennium means at the depth of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years and his one day is calculated at 4,300,000 of our earthly years. His night is of the same duration. His month consists of 30 such days and nights, and his year of 12 months. After 100 such years, when Brahma dies, the devastation of or annihilation takes place. This means that the energy manifestation by the Supreme Lord is again wound up in himself. Then again, when there is a need to manifest the cosmic world, it is done by his will. Bahu Sham, although I am one, I shall become many. This is the Vedic aphorism. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. He expands himself in this material energy, and the whole cosmic manifestation again takes place. So, we mentioned this morning how there's a big problem when it comes particularly to science and theology. One of the big issues has been the issue of creation. Because basically, science and religion has not been forming a serious relationship or congruity or marriage when it comes to creation. It's become such an issue that even the Catholic Church has had to back down from its position. Why? Because the present state of understanding about creation, based on general religious appraisal, is not a very strong presentation. And so some people who are religious, they will have difficulty because it's with such things they become schizoid or schizophrenia. In the sense that they'll say, my religious self feels comfortable with this, but my intellectual or scientific being does not agree, does not understand, does not accept. And so we understand that religion without deep philosophy is sentimentalism. And philosophy without deep religion is mental speculation. So often people have involved themselves in religious processes that do not have deep philosophy or has not penetrated the spiritual scientific or the spiritual universal connection. We see that not only is spirituality something most unusual and powerful, but as we access deep spirituality, it goes far beyond what science can understand. So many things about the human condition science cannot understand. It does not even clearly understand what is emotions. It does not understand what is instinct. They use this word instinct for something that they see is happening, but there's no previous learning that has taken place in this lifetime. Different species do different things in certain ways without previous learning. But then as they consider two major factors, first the factor of transmigration, reincarnation, they can understand that many things have been processed in a previous life or previous lives. And now some residue of that is causing particular actions at this time. Also, if they consider the factor of the soul and the super soul, which is connected with all knowledge, and they can understand certain things manifest and take place in a certain way. But they have no understanding of such things, and so there's a problem. It's like sometimes when we examine how most people are thinking. It's so much based on Darwinism, which has brought a tremendous amount of confusion to the world. Because so many people are grossly materialistic. And they see life simply from a reductionistic platform. Sometimes not even understanding the intellect, what to say of the soul. So we see that first the idea that creation has just come from the Big Bang. Creation has just come about through an accident. That no respectable person, no respectable theology is to be highly appreciated based on accident. Accident, we don't take that as such a serious, mature concern. And then we see that science is trying to look at evolution. But again, the factor of the soul is missing. And the factor of how Krishna is manifesting simultaneously, superior and inferior species are existing at the same time. A theory of evolution was sufficiently grounded, and we would just see constantly lower species and then higher and higher. But why is it that higher and lower are manifesting or existing at the same time? Because as Krishna, through the agency of Lord Brahma, through dealing with the Mahatattva and its variegatedness, then we see that there is a constant situation of creation. So it's not really that God has created, but that God is creating. They have some understanding of some vague things about this particular era in human civilization. But this is only like one small aspect of a huge drama. And there is some little act. And then after a while, the curtain closes and the act is over for preparation for the next act. So they see this as the totality of things, that there are some closing of the curtain, but that is just preparation for another manifestation. So Brahma does some very interesting things, which helps us to know more about the nature of this material entanglement. Brahma has a very kind of nasty service. It's like Yamaraj has a very interesting, difficult, somewhat nasty service. But he has to constantly be dealing with deviants, people who have minimized Sanatana Dharma, people who have not understood Atmavidya or self-realization, and often For hundreds of thousands of different lifetimes, they're undergoing the same cheating and the same denial of the Saman Bonham, the Absolute Truth. Yamaraj has to, and his agents have to meet such personalities, and they say, come on. Here you are again. Another existence. You have been ridiculous, deviant. Well, you have worked overtime in trying to deny the simple reality. Then living at the deep start, giving all kind of excuses. Well, if I had a little more time, if I would have had a different husband, different wife, been in a different gender, been in a different race, in a different part of the world, I would have been more spiritual. And Yamaraj says, yes, I have heard these kind of things millions and millions of times. Come on. And so many different situations, different lives, you have even said some of the same things. What does he have so many other agents? So now let us see what is to be arranged for you. So this is most unfortunate. Living entity often when taking birth in the womb has cognizance and recognition of many, many previous lifetimes. And often Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that while they're in the womb, they are thinking, oh, how they have taken now another birth, another existence in the prisons. Just like criminal has done some serious offense, gets arrested, does some time in the prison, and then they finally get out, but then they do something else deviant and they get caught again. And they are thinking, oh, another sentence, more years in this hellish institution. But they had the chance to avoid being incarcerated. They misused their free will, and now there are consequences that's concomitant to that misuse of free will. So we all have free will, and we're all using it in different ways at different times, and it will bring in certain results, certain alignments based on our free will. So Brahma has this nasty service in one sense of creating these huge prisons that will arrange for souls to enact their deviation, will give them an environment where they can work hard in competing and trying to be the supreme. The analyzed material life is basically situated around different entities trying to have the opulences of Krishna. Somebody's trying to be the most wealthiest, but Krishna is that. Someone is working hard and trying to be the most famous. There's always someone who's more famous, and there's the most famous entity, and that is Krishna. Someone is trying to be most attractive, but no one is more beautiful. The source of beauty, renunciation, etc., intelligence. So one way of understanding the Saman Bonham, the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, is appreciating that in every area there is always someone who excels more, but when there is a point where there is no one who can be excel behind, above that particular situation or person, then that is Krishna. We understand that someone has strength, but we find the strongest entity, that is God. Someone has beauty, but as we go on and on investigating, but who is more beautiful? But then when there is no one more than that person, then. So one way to appreciate the Lord, that He's the one who, indeed, in result, is possessing the opulences to their greatest extent. So Vermont creates this environment so people can pretend or enact the craziness of thinking they're God or trying to become God. So just imagine if you had this a service of creating a tremendous hellish prison or a really, really tremendous mental institution. Realizing that by your creation, it is going to be completely occupied. You think, oh, this is pretty hellish. So the mind in his manifestations, his creations, he first creates the nescience factors because the material world is based on nescience. So he's creating illusion and body identification, false ego and all this. So this is the ingredient the material world is based on. Then he creates the impious son, deviance, somewhat rascal. And then he creates the knowledge factor. Yoga, Vairagya, Sankhya, and then the pious. So if you think about that for a moment, you see why it is so difficult in trying to be spiritual, because we are trying to be spiritual while we are confined by material body, by material sense gratification, and by the material shackles of Matunyagara, these shackles of the three modes of nature and of the Mahatma. So living in entity is having to work very hard in trying to become freed. It's like you are bound by different chains, bound by different ropes, and you're trying somehow to function while you are so much chained with so many limitations. This material universes, not only the material planet, but the material universes are literally environments of limitations. So we are limited, even though we are originally from the land of total, pure freedom, unadulterated love, and with unmotivated, uninterrupted service. So no wonder people are in such anxieties because they're so much out of station. It's like if you have spent most of your life living in the palace and then all of a sudden you are having to live in a little shack. It is not an easy transition because you become habituated to a certain environment, certain lifestyle. So there will be all kind of subtle as well as gross feelings of disturbance, underlying tensions, because you've experienced something so beyond what you are now experiencing. So the soul has been so much connected in the higher eternal realm. And now it is stuck, locked up, captured, temporarily captured by these physical bodies. So that is Satchitananda Vigraha, full of bliss, eternality and knowledge. And now that soul, which is a part of Vaikuntha, or the land of freedom from sin, is now in the atmosphere of Kunta, full of misery and duality. So living entities and their anxiety and frustration, they run here and they run there and they try so many things as they're trying to find ways how to suffer peacefully. So they have many extracurricular things. They occupy themselves with all kinds of things so they can at least be a little bit distracted from the boredom and the misery that they're experiencing. Most people, you get them to speak honestly, openly, and they will discuss how life is a big disappointment. But often they're thinking, I'm just in the wrong profession. I just have to make some alteration of some material thing, but it doesn't always make a big difference. Most times it doesn't. Because they're carrying the same consciousness as they change their atmosphere. They bring the same crazy mind, crazy desires. So, Brahma is an unusual position because sometimes if an entity who has been most righteous, austere, at the time of annihilation has a chance to take up the post of Lord Brahma. If an entity who has entered into levels of purity, but at the same time they have this lording over tendency. So Krishna says, so this is what you are still having, I will give you an environment to be able to function based on that level of consciousness. And he gives them an entity a position to become Lord Brahma. Sometimes an entity falls from the spiritual kingdom. Not necessarily fall so low at first. And so they may even fall to the point of demigods or position of Lord Brahma. So sometimes Lord Brahma is in that position and then goes back to the spiritual world in the next life, time, and sometimes Lord Brahma being in that position starts going down, down. Becoming more habituated by mature energy. Just like intoxication. So when you take intoxication, gradually become addicted, and you need more and more, and you get more absorbed, you become more animalistic, you become more controlled by the drug, until one practically loses it. That one will do anything practically just for the drug. The living entity is really an amazing addict in one sense. When someone is addicted to something, it is hard to be free of that addiction unless there is something to replace. Param distanavajate. You can't just be free of an addiction just by knowledge, theory, philosophy. Addictions are very serious. So many people know that cigarette smoking is bad, and they're still chain smoking. So many people know alcohol is bad, it's ruined their lives. They're still taking the alcohol. So many people hate the drug, cocaine or other drugs, but they're taking it on such a regular basis. Because even though they have the knowledge that it is ruining their lives, when they have the knowledge that it's bad for them, but that addiction is so overwhelming, and still they go for it. And they suffer like anything after having given in to such. But such persons who are addicted to whatever it is, they can make a change, knowledge with environment. When the environment is more supportive, helping one to move away from that addiction, then such person can move out of it. So we're all addicted to it. So many lifetimes we've been engaging in all kind of sinful activities. And so we can hear philosophy, and that will help. It can help us even temporarily to make a shift. But it will not be a sense of longevity unless there is an environment to assist and to protect. That is why Srila Prabhupada has created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He could have just created International Society for Vedic Philosophy, for Vaishnava Philosophy, and just let people hear the philosophy, But he did more than that. He created an environment for people to hear and then to practice and to put it into motion to be able to get the necessary effects. So this is our position, is that yes, we are philosophers, and we have such great philosophy. But again, philosophy without religion is speculation. And philosophy with religion and with science that is not applied is like having a powerful gem that is not being properly used. So as we are trying to become free of the addiction, and just think about what it means when somebody is addicted. They hate themselves because they see that they keep giving in to the push of the senses and of the mind. They feel like a complete reject, like a misfit, because they're being dragged into succumbing again and again. But when Arjuna was expressing such, when he was asking, what is it that caused the person to act in such a way as if they are forced? Arjuna is in a great destitute situation. He wants to know, what is responsible for this craziness? And Krishna explains very emphatically, in the mood that it's not a great mystery, Arjuna. It is simply calm, simply lust. And so it is that lust dies throughout the body. It is that lust that is so overwhelming and keeps living entity so captured. But why? Why is this lust so powerful? That living entities, even who don't want to do such things, but find themselves compelled. How can something be so powerful? It's like people who are addicted to drugs. It becomes so overwhelming that they will forsake food, they will give up drink, they will give up shelter, they will give up money. Sometimes they even give up their own children, their own wife or their own husband. They will want the drug even more than sex. How can something be so powerful? Because it is an amazing Kali Yugic arrangement of imposing lust on the individual. The individual is trying to get that fix, that rush, that Kali Yuga ecstasy. Ecstasy is natural. It is an integral part of the experience of the soul and of higher consciousness. But when we don't have or not gradually developing the real experience of the ecstasy, the living entity will constantly go back to the cheating propensity and try to create their ecstasy. There's no accident the demons have come up with a drug that we call ecstasy. Like the rush, like the communist prophet says, they say, so you want bread, so you pray to God for bread. Now you pray, now you request from your comrade, communist members for bread. And so then they give them the bread. So they say, what is this God stuff? So it's like the demons are saying, oh, you want ecstasy? Here it is, very accessible. You just throw it down your throat and have the experience. And because of the cheating propensity, people constantly, they want something without being ready to pay the price for it. And that's called cheating. They want the kingdom of God without God. They want the ecstasy, they want the higher consciousness, they want to have peak experiences without being able to align themselves with the higher. And this is one of the activities of cheaters. That they claim proprietorship of something that is not theirs, they take something that is not theirs, they make arrangements to control something that is not theirs, to enjoy something that is not theirs, not for them. So the materialists are involved in such a thing of trying to capture, trying to get the pleasure through the mundane senses, without going through the proper purification to be able to connect with the more eternal and higher pleasure. So this is a serious problem. So living entity can go many, many lifetimes in pursuing this capitalistic temporary pleasure. Sometimes we see the scriptures and Prabhupada emphasize there is no pleasure in the material world. People read that, they hear that, they say, oh, I knew it all along. Hare Krishna, they're just fanatics. They're blind followers. What do you mean? Really mean no pleasure. Because they're thinking, when I take the drug, I feel pleasure. When I take the alcohol, I feel pleasure. When I have illicit connections, I feel pleasure. When I eat abominable things, I feel some pleasure. Then what do we mean? There is no pleasure in material. If something that one is doing caused them to have immediate and then later chastisement, suffering, then we don't see those things that the individual has done as something that's auspicious. Inasmuch as that for all deviations, for all involvements of sense gratification, there is a punishment. So do we say that there is pleasure when that action has invoked chastisement? We don't see that as pleasurable. That by the action, one will be guaranteed chastisement. But we understand that, that's just, that real pleasure is not just based on such an arena. Does not bring in them inauspiciousness. So imagine that. Every sin that an entity is involved in, there is some arrangement for chastisement, for punishment. So the entities often have so much of an accumulation of negative karma based on their sinful life. But last point we look at and we think that why has Krishna brought in so many difficulties that seemingly makes it more impossible or difficult for the living entity who's incarcerated to try to be able to get out. It's like some priests are writing books, and even now it's a big concern for many people, is that why or how does so many bad things happen to good people? It's a big theological question. Why? There is a kind God who is all attentive. Why are so many bad things happening? Or is it that really, that he's not really all kind, all loving, and therefore so many things are happening because it is from the manifestation of the nature of the Supreme. People are bewildered. They see all many calamities happening. And they think, where is God? God, you lot of another.
There he is.
That means it's time to pass through. So, but we can understand there is the Lord. They want to know. Mara says, there he is. And we understand how he is enchanting the whole of creation through his various energies. Bahiranga Tatasya and Antaranga Shakti. And as we use our free will, we connect with different energies of Krishna. What we connect with, then we get some level of reciprocation. But just like in love, the parent loves the child, then sometimes the love is manifested in a wonderful embrace, and sometimes in some restriction, or some chastisement, or some whipping. But in each case, the love factor is there, that the thing is done for the benefit of that living entity. So similar, everything that Krishna does is an expression of his love. But sometimes that love is expressed in the conditioned entity in what seems to be chastisement. That we will see just to go on in this imprisoned body in the material world is not what we want. It takes many, many lifetimes finally they realize something's wrong. All this disease, old age, and death, something's not quite right. The faster people success, then they begin to look at serious positive alternatives of what is wrong. Everything is happening matapavatananyat kintanasti dananjaya. It's resting on Krishna. It's happening for some reason. Let me two last points. That means whatever has happened, is happening, will happen in the future to each individual is so much based on the individual's use of her free will. Another way to say is that everything happens to everyone, that we have responsibility because it has something to do with our own consciousness. And if we want to change whatever is happening in our present life or for our future, then we simply change. Every level of consciousness connects with certain activities that we bring to ourselves that we experience. Otherwise, if that is not true, then we have to reject the fact that there is a God. Controlling. The things that is happening extemporaneously, happening, there's biases that has favored, or that Krishna is weak, and that the mind is stronger than Krishna. There's a story, and we'll end with that, of one, probably thinking about one king who was given a sword, was his sword. Sword by a Persian ambassador. And while he is shining it, he cuts his finger. And then he is in distress of how he has done it. And he is speaking to his one of his advisors about what has happened. And he says, oh, your highness, it is simply God's mercy. And again he says, what? He said, it is God's mercy. Mercy of God. And then he becomes angry and he says, you would say that because it didn't happen to you. And how can you say such a thing? That it is God's mercy. He's thinking, he's the king. Something's happened to him. The subject should be very concerned, remorseful. And he is saying, it is the mercy of God. He arranges Lotus. Lotus advises him. He is saying, I have hurt myself. I have cut my part of my finger off. And he is saying, it is the mercy of God. But this nonsense is personal. But then later, he goes out on one of his hunts. And in the process, he gets captured by a band of wild personalities living in the bush. And they start preparing him for dinner, for sacrifice. But then as they are preparing him, they notice, the priest notices, hey, we can't use this guy. Imperfect specimen, huh? So, sometimes in these rituals, they're also very particular. The demons are really very particular about how they do their things. So there's a business, international business in human spare parts. Some powerful leaders of countries have gotten some of their power from very sinful types of rituals, where they involve themselves in doing things with human parts. And Prabhupada explains this, some of the stuff about Rakshasa. So this king then, the priest, when the priest saw, he got his finger cut off. He's going to interfere with this Kali Yugic, demonic yagna. Do the yagna just right. So they free him. So when the king got back to his palace, he was, of course, happy that he saved his life. He was released. And then he called the advisor who had thrown in jail. He said, you told me that. This is God's mercy. And I see that it really was. Because I was about to completely have lost my life. But because of this accident, that now I'm here. But he said, one thing I can't understand is that it was God's mercy for me that this happened, and my life had been saved. But how do you say it's God's mercy for you after all I threw you into prison? You said everything that happens tonight is for a reason, and it's the mercy of God, whatever happens. So how do you call this mercy? Because of what you told me, I threw you into the prison, and you had to suffer. And your advisor says, normally, when you go on those hunts, I go with you. Said it was God's mercy. After they rejected you, they would have used me. So, of course, the purport is that many things happen, and that Krishna is merciful, and sometimes Krishna's mercy unfolds in unusual ways. Sometimes different experiences are quite unusual, but they have a purpose if we go deep enough to try to see what the purpose is and to use it. So Lord Brahma creating this material universes, in one sense that seems something harsh to make such a big arrangement for creating prisons for people to suffer. But there are the misuse of free will, and the environment is designed to help one to become intelligent to get out of the prison, or to get out of that prison consciousness, that material consciousness. So Krishna has given us many, many arrangements based on misuse of free will and material energy. But the amazing thing is that just how this material world is created on the nescience factors, We have to remind ourselves that we are in the enemy's camp, or we are in an unnatural environment. Because the material world is basically an environment for deviation. So no wonder everything we try to do spiritually is usually quite difficult, because we're in an environment that is hostile. You're in the enemy's camp. You're in a dangerous place. And the basic environment is the mood of the enemy. So the basic environment of the material world is a place that's designed to help you in running away from Krishna. The place designed to help you to forget Krishna. And so one, in order to transcend that, has to not just to be functioning like a normal person. The more you are a normal person, the more you are part of this hellish environment. So as devotees, then we're not interested in just trying to be normal, just struggling hard for a little money, for a little shelter, a little food, and considering that to be success. And we leave the prison house when our actions and thoughts have become so different from the environment that it becomes our rightful claim to associate based on that consciousness that we now have. In other words, as we're developing more and more anti-material or spiritual consciousness, then that consciousness will also connect with experiences and environment. So therefore, we constantly pursue the deeper devotion, deeper devotional consciousness, knowing that then it will allow the soul to gradually connect with that. So, in essence, then we're to be in this world, but not so much of the world. The more that we are beginning to act of the world, then that means we're becoming more and more disqualified, literally, going back to the spiritual kingdom. And then we will remain under what Rama has created, an environment to beat us and beat us until finally we try to move away from these shackles. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or any comments? We're in the enemy's camp, therefore we expect duality, confusion, anxieties. But we don't have to be stuck. The more that we're normal, so-called, the more we will experience the karma of this hellish place. So therefore we are constantly trying to follow the rules and regulations. And we are trying to keep focus about our real identity by chanting the holy name, realizing that one day we'll be freed from all of these temporary arrangements and these hellish conditions. Yes, Prabhu? Yamaraj has some very vicious agents. It's like executioners sometimes, even though they're working for the state. They have a very vicious service that they perform. So these Yamadutas, sometimes people who have these heavy nightmares, they're just picking up some of what they have experienced from previous life. So they're expert in doing their duty. Any other questions? Sometimes people are snatched out of their bodies. They see these Yamadutas, they become so afraid. Now people die differently, right? Advanced souls, when death takes place, the soul leaves the mouth. Most people, the soul leaves to the anus. But many people, when they're dying, their faces are contorted, they're passing urine, they're passing stool, because they're seeing what is waiting for them. They're being snatched out by Yamaraj. And sometimes people who are more pious, when they leave the body looks restful, there's even a smile, Because according to how they use their free will, something is waiting. Any other questions? Only Lord Brahma may end up in one of the hellish planets. Because when you're in leadership and you deviate, it's a more serious offense than just being a regular sinner, sinful person. The Upanishad calls this killer soul. And someone is in a spiritual position and they use that or use that in an abusive way, then there's a serious consequence. But the other aspect is that yes, sometimes we have this tendency to want to be pure, but we also want to be the, you know, be the big chief, be the big personality. So Krishna will arrange. Prabhupada would do that himself. Sometimes Prabhupada gave people positions because they were so addicted or attached to being a big controller. But also he understood that if they go on and do the service and follow the principles, they will gradually get purified, even though there's so much interest in trying to control. Just like we do sometimes, we see it in our philosophy. We say, just chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to give up this or that, the other way, just chant Hare Krishna. But we also know that if they honestly chant Hare Krishna, or they honestly read the books, they're going to see why they have to give up all that mess. Huh? We say, oh, just take Hare Krishna. Just chant. Read the books. And then if they start reading, they realize, oh, this is not proper. They shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that. And they realize that their previous life was something that was shameful, sinful. So one may be given, one may be put into some particular positions. And if we just do our best in that, there will be purification. But then other times, we're directly in positions because of the desire to serve. Krishna's ranging an environment, but one can do more service and help them. The real test is when you don't have that position. Are you still enthused to serve? Some people can only serve with dedication only if they are in control, only if they are in the limelight. And that's dangerous, because one day they won't be in that position. And then there'll be a difference in consciousness, a different change in activity. Any last question? That's why we see that the Brahmanas, you know, he's got a big pulse, but it's also dangerous. There's still some tinge there. You got to dabble with your energy because of that tinge. Explains in Bhagavatam how he creates these homosexuals, and they want to have sex with him. He runs. So he's got it. Yeah, difficult work. That is the hellishness of the mature energy. It is designed for imprisonment, designed for chastisement. The body is designed for chastisement, harassment. Like right now, so we're tired. So the mind, intelligence may be trying to hear, but the body is saying, come on, time to take rest. Sometimes you're trying to read. The mind really wants to try to understand. Then the body is saying no. Sometimes the intelligence, the mind, you know, is The intelligence wants to forget something, but the mind keeps on bringing it up. It's like you think about something that happened to you, you know, that was very embarrassing. And your intelligence would like to just forget about it, but the mind keeps bringing it up. You feel bad about it, you know, something happened, you feel so embarrassed. You would like to just forget about that thing, forget about that experience. But the mind is harassing, the mind brings it up. You're functioning in so many aspects there in our existence. But there's this fight between the body and the mind, and the mind and the senses, and the intelligence and the mind. The one thing we should always remember that when we take the spiritual life, the mind becomes envious, viciously envious. Because while we are adhering to mature energy, the mind is supreme. The senses are desiring something, they send an order to the mind, and the mind starts making arrangements for it. So the mind has been given so much, so much attention. It has been in charge, fulfilling the desires of the senses. When you take the spiritual life, no longer is the mind giving the major attention, but we're now trying to deal with the soul. Then the mind will find so many ways to try to snatch back the attention. And that is the anxiety that we experience sometimes as devotees. And the mind is just trying one thing after another and trying to make us fall or trying to bring us back to the camp of Maya, that the mind gets more attention, gets stroked. But because of that, we have to see the mind right now as one of our greatest enemies. It's been so conditioned to nice. So maybe the intelligence wants to hear more, but the body is saying, stop. So we'll stop now. ISKCON Founder Charter, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai! Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Ki. Jai!